Okay, today's daf is Becharos daf Gimel. We left off on Becharos daf Beis. Again, next week, Blineder, I will not be here. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael next week, so there will be no daf Yom Yishir here in the shul next week, nor am I going to record it for YU Torah next week. Mustam, I will not have time to do that from Israel. So, yeah, except Sunday. Yeah, I'll be here Sunday, but I'm going to be away the rest of the week, and I'll be back the following Tuesday morning. Following Tuesday. Okay, so we are holding on Daf Beis and Beis. The Gemara had raised the Shaila. What if you are, is a person permitted to sell a behema l'ubreha? Can you sell a behema for its fetuses to a guy? And the Gemara said that this is a Shaila bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, bein l'Rabbanan. Regardless whether you hold, you're allowed to sell a shavura, or you're not allowed to sell a shavura, an animal that's unable to work. Regardless of what you hold in that issue, we still have this the Shaila. Are you allowed to sell a behema for its ubar to a non-Jew? So we're going to see a couple of rayas. First raya is on the, and I think where we left off, is on the last skinny line, on daf beis amid beis. Says Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya. Vanosin lo bekabalah, the Mishnah talks about a case where you give a guy an animal to raise the animal, and you retain ownership of the animal, but the guy is raising the animal, and his schar is that he gets a share of the ubrim, he gets the fetuses. Velo katani afal pishein or rashai, but it doesn't say in the Mishnah, afal pishein or rashai, which implies that it's mutter to sell a behema to a guy for the uber, for the fetuses, because Kabbalah is a mechira le'ubrin. That's exactly what it is. He's raising your animal for the right to own the fetuses. So we see that apparently we don't say in a rashi. Apparently it is permitted to do. So says Gemara Lutaimech, if that's according to that diuk, if you want to make a diuk that any time the Mishnah doesn't say afal pishein or rashai, that it automatically means that it is permitted, then hamishtatif lo delo katani hachinami de rashai. It doesn't say by hamishtatif lo afal pishein or rashai, that when you take a partnership together with a guy, that it's not permitted, so that you want to make a diuk that that's permitted as well. But we know that it's not permitted to have a shutvus with the guy. Vahamar avur de shmuel, not only an animal, it's also to have a shutfus with an Ovid Kochavim in general. You're not allowed to enter into partnerships with Ovid Kochavim because maybe you're going to be chayiv, maybe he will become chayiv a shvua to you, and if he's chayiv a shvua, what's he going to do? And he's going to take a shvua in the name of his Avodah Zarah. V'atora amra, but the Torah says, lo yishama al picha. Not only lo yishava b'shem avodah zarah, that you shouldn't even say the shame of lo yishama al picha. It shouldn't even be heard in this world based on some transaction involving you. So even if the guy has to take the shvua and he's going to do it b'shem avodah zarah, we blame the person who makes him take the shvua. That is a violation. So why doesn't it say in the Mishnah that if you're mishtatef, that it's afal pishein or rashai, that it's not a permissible thing to do, that you're not allowed to be mishtatef? It says by mechira afal pishein or rashai, so we understand shutfus also is a rashai. It says by mechira afal pishein or rashai, so we understand kablanus is also a rashai. That even though you're only selling the animal for the fetus, you're only selling the fetuses rather to the guy, so that is still a rashai. So maishna mechira dinakat. Well, if all of them are a rashai, if shutfus and mechira and kablanus, they're all Eino Rashai, why does the Mishnah only say the term Afal Pishein Rashai by Mechira Dafka? It could have said it by any one of them. Why did it choose Dafka Mechira? Says the Gemara, the Iker Mechira he. Because primarily it's an Isser by Mechira. What does that mean? Primarily it's an Isser by Mechira. So Rashi writes, if you look at Tosfos, he quotes Rashi, then he argues, Pirush Rashi, the Iker Isser hu HaMechira. That the primary Isser is the Mechira, and the others are just offshoots of the Isser of selling to a guy. Mashmash Rotz. So it sounds like Rashi is saying that the primary issue is the mechira, but for kasha, hashutvus lo mitzur mishum mechira el kidavu de Shmuel. That makes it sound like the isser of entering a shutfus with a guy has some relationship to the isser of mechira, but really they have nothing to do with each other. The isser of mechira, as we said, is it's a gzeira midrabanan that it's going to come. You're going to come to try it out for him on Shabbos. You're going to come to lend it to him or to rent it to him, and he's going to work it on Shabbos. That's what the isser of mechira is about. The isser of shutfus has nothing to do with Shabbos. The isser of shutfus is about that he's going to take a shavua b'shem avodah zarah. It has absolutely nothing nothing to do with it. So how can you say that that's, one is the Iker and the other is the Tafel? So he said, no, V'tzarech lomar Iker Yisra ha-pashut hu mechira, ketan perakam in the Mesachas of Adzara. The most explicit Isser in Mishnayis is the Isser Mechira. Granted, they're both Asser, and they're Asser for completely different reasons, for unrelated reasons. But the most explicit Isser in Mishnayis is the Isser that we mentioned, that we mentioned in our Mishnah, because you have an explicit Mishnah in Avodah Zarah that mentions the Isser of Mechira. You don't have any such explicit Mishnah that mentions the Isser of Shutfus. That's how Tosfos understands. Now, Halach Lamaisa, what do we do about this? The Gemara says you're not allowed to enter into a Shutfus with Navid Chavim. People have partnerships with Goyim all the time. People dafka enter into partnerships with Goyim to get around Shabbos issues, doctor's offices and things like that. They always have a Goyisha partner. So what's the heter? What about the fact that he's going to be Mashpia B'Shem of Adzara? So if you look at the previous Tosos, Tosos Dibra Maskel Shema, Mikan Osra Rabbeinu Shmuel Kabbalah Sashvua Mikal V'Chomer V'Rabbeinu Tam Matir M'Neshu K'matzul Miyadam. Fine, that's a different issue. If you look weiter in the about the seventh line in. Own Meisir Rabbeinu Tam Raya Mehi the Perek Basra the Megillah Damar Avu Bar Ihi Tasteli the Lo Avdi Shutfus Imovik Chavim. Rabbeinu Tam brings a Raya, must be mutter to enter into a Shutfus with an Ovid Chavim. And again, the Sfari said originally was Kamatzel Miyadam, that anything that you're getting out of them, it's like you're saving what would be lost from their hands. So Rabbeinu Tam's Raya is that the Gemara Megillah goes through a list of various Amoraim who described great things that they do, things that they excelled in that were above and beyond, that were very special. You have a few Gemaras like this. So one of the comments is, Tasteli de lo avdi shutfus imovik chavim. I deserve special credit because I never made a shutfus with an avik chavim. Vi'i asr my rabusei. If it was just straight out asr, so what do you mean? Tasteli de lo achalti chazer. You don't have such a comment that give me extra credit because I keep Shabbos, I don't eat chazer. What do you mean? It's got to be something special that he does. So it must be that maker din is mutter. V'chein pirush rabbeinu tam shloim nesar mishalosh su'udos midam perakal kisvei tasteli de kiamtum gimel su'udos mash pshkul loim nesar mbeh. It's very strange raya, he says, and the raya that it's not a real din is because one of the things that it says tastily is tastily that I eat shalosh shudas every week, and therefore it must be that people didn't eat shalosh shudas every week; they were in violation of this halacha. So tastily means I go above and beyond what people normally do. So I don't know how that's a raya that it's mutter to enter into a shudfus with the guy. It's a raya if use shalosh shudas as the example. It's not mutter to skip shalosh. It's that most people skip shalosh shudas. So tasteli means I go above and beyond what most people do, even though it's actually usher to do otherwise. So Lechori, you should have said the same thing over here, that all Rabbeinu Tam could really prove is that people weren't careful about this, but not that it's mutter. Very difficult raya that he's bringing. Shalosh shudas is obviously a requirement. There's a tshuva of Shlomo Kluger about why women aren't makbid in shalosh shudas, because it's a just as obvious and clear a requirement for women as well as machlok Rabbeinu Tam in the Ran as to why women are chayv in shalosh shudas, either because afein hoi boso anes or kol sheyeshno b'shamer yeshno b'zachar. So you have such a machlokas rishonim why they're included in shalosh shudas. So Shlomo Kluger says, oh, must be Rabbeinu Tam doesn't hold like the Ran's reason, the Ran doesn't hold like Rabbeinu Tam's reasons. So we paskin like neither of the reasons, and that's why women don't need shalosh shudas. But even that is a very very shveri justification to try to justify it for men is impossible. It's beferish that we're all chayv in shalosh shudas. So all you can really bring a raya over here is that it's something people weren't careful about, not that it's not an isser. Very difficult line in Tosfos. But then says Rabbeinu Tam the key. Od pirush Rabbeinu Tam bizman hazeh kula nishbatin bekachim ve'in tofsin behem elokos elohus ve'afal pish maskir nimam shem shemayim. We don't have any problem with them being mashpia b'shem avod zara, because even though they do mention shem shemayim, they do mention a god in their swearing v'kavanasam l'davar achonri, and they're obviously not referring to our set of religious principles. Mikal makom ein ze shem avodos kolchavim, but it's not a shem avod zara when they say god ki daitam l'shem osa shemayim. They do have an image, essentially, of a God that created heaven and earth. And that's what they're really being mashpia b'shem. B'shem, an all-powerful God, not some of Avodah Zarah that they don't believe created heaven and earth, but they believe is the power over the sun or over this or over that. No, they intend on a unified power that created heaven and earth. But they also are mashpia by the Trinity, not just by God, but with some other power connected that also has some power, and that's included in the Shvua. Ein kan lifnei iver l'sitin michshol. It's not a problem of lifnei iver de b'nei noach l'huzru al kach, because there's no iser for b'nei noach on that. There's no iser for b'nei noach on that. So the question is, what's on that? So mistama, pashut reading of Tosfos very clearly is that they're not musar on shituf. That even though a guy is not allowed to believe in avodah zarah, he is there. The first of the Asaras Dibros no cheshem lekecha. Second one is not to have other gods. Those are two separate things. They have the guy is chayiv in the first one. He has to believe in God, but he's not chayiv in the second one, not to believe in shituf. That's pashpshat what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, and the Rabbeinu Yeruchim writes this explicitly as well, and the Ramban or Chaim Simon Kuf Nun Vav also writes explicitly that a guy is not musar in shituf. Now in the Tshuvas v'Shava Kohen and in the Tshuvas Noda B'Yehuda Madur Tinyani Yardea Simin Kuf Mem Ches, they write that B'nei Noach are also Musar on Shituf, that we can't accept this idea that B'nei Noach are not Musar on Shituf. How could it be that B'nei Noach has to believe in God, but what kind of God is he believing in if he believes in God having to share those powers with other forces? So Noda B'Yehuda, he goes to great lengths to prove that that which people say that B'nei Noach are not Mutsuv on Shituf is a mistake. And they got it. People make the mistake based on the Ramah that we just mentioned in Simon Kuf Nun Vav, but really the Ramah only means to say that a Ben Noach is not Musar on being Mazkir Shem Shemayim V'davar Acher, but to be Oved Avodus Kuchavim B'Shituf, to worship, to practice a religion B'Shituf, that certainly, says in the Behuda, a Ben Noach is Asurin and well, as well. The Prima Gadim in Yardea Simon Samachay in Sif Seidas, Sif Katan Memhei, and Pischei Tshuva, right? That even though it's true, Mikom Lakom, even though they agree with the Noda Behuda, that really a guy is not allowed to worship Shituf, but nevertheless, it does. They don't believe that that's Pshat in the Ramah. They think the Ramah actually disagrees and thinks that it's okay for a guy to worship Shituf. This is obviously a major issue in terms of the halachic status of Christianity. Is Christianity considered Avodah Zarah? So the Rambam was very strong and very clear in a lot of places, certainly in the uncensored editions of the Rambam that we have in the Frankel editions of the Rambam. He was very clear and very strong that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, that worshipping Shituf is Avodah Zarah. Islam is not, he said, but Christianity certainly is. Tosfos would seem to say that it's not Avodah Zarah, that Ben Noach is not Musar on Shituf. So Rabbeinu Tam writes over here, Bizman hazeh, they're all nishpa b'kachim ve'ein tovsim v'hem shem elohus. So even though they mention the shame of Avodah Zarah, the shame of God, they mean the one who's bari shemayim va'aretz. And even though the shituf, they weren't musar in it. Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam over here. The Ran Avodah Zarah writes in the name of the Ramban that it's not an isra of lifnei iver to get the guy to be mashpia, even though he's going to be mashpia b'shituf, since the guy can take the shvua even without you being mashbiah him. Meaning it's only the nisr of lifnei iver mida oraisa when you cause him to do something that he could not have otherwise done. If he want, like the Gemara in Nazir gives the example of trei avri dinar or chad avri dinar. If you have a Nazir who wants a cup of wine, and he could just as easily pick it up as you can, but you pass it to him, that is not lifnei iver mida oraisa. That is only lifnei iver mida rabbanan. But if he can't get to the wine, he's on the other side of the river, and he needs you to throw the bottle to him, so that would be a violation. So the Ran says in the name of the Ramban, that's why it's not a Lifnei Iver problem over here, because the guy has every right to the guy has every ability to swear without you making him swear. And therefore, Meikar Adin, it's mutter to make him swear. So the Tori Avin wonders, how could you say that it's only a Midas Chasidus B'Alma? The Gemara says, Ul-Tameich, Hamishtatif lo-delo katani achinami de-Rashai. What kind of kash is that? It's Vaday Rashai v'Rashai hu. What do you mean? What would be the Isser? Kalis, if the whole Isser is only Midas Chasidus? Meaning, at the end of the day, what do you do with the Gemara? How do you get back to the Gemara? I mean, the Gemara says that it's not permissible. So what you have to say is that the Gemara is talking about a guy that's going to be mashbia b'shem avodah zarah mamish. We're talking about a guy in our times who's not going to be mashbia b'shem avodah zarah, or those guys in our times who will not take a shvua b'shem avodah zarah mamish. They'll take a shvua b'shem something else, b'shem, you know, in Christianity or something like that. And that's what Rabbi Natan was trying to justify. Okay, second raya. Again, we're still the topic of our discussion is whether you're allowed to sell a fetus to an Ovid Kochavim. So four lines from the bottom, raya number two, Tashema, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mekabel Beim an Ovid Kochavim V'yalda, if a person receives an animal from a guy to raise in order to be able to get the fetuses, Malan Oso B'Shavyo, you evaluate its value, V'Nosin Chatzi Dam of the Kohen, and you give half of its value to the Kohen, since you own half of the fetus, so you have to give that much to the Kohen. V'Nosin B'Kabbalah, but if you give it B'Kabbalah, this is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, right? We don't... our Tana doesn't agree with this, but this is Rabbi Yudashita. If you're nosin b'kabbalah, if the guy accepts your animal to raise in order to get a share of the fetuses, afal pi shein or rashai, even though you're not permitted to do that, kontsinoso adasar b'damav, v'nosin kol damav l'kohen. So even though you're not allowed to do it, if someone does it, so there's a knas. He has to pay up until 10 times its value to try to buy it back from the Ovid Kochavim, and he gives all the value, the entire value of the animal, to a Kohen because it's a legitimate Bechor. The Chacham Momrim calls Manchi out Ovid Kochavim, Amtsa Pturimina Bechorah, and the Chacham say, no, if the guy has any ownership whatsoever anywhere in that animal, it's Pata from Bechorah. So, my lava behema, when we say that we make him pay, and we make him be Poda the animal, up until 10 times the value, so aren't we talking about the behema? So, it sounds like if you sell a behema for the Uber, for future Ubrim, that still we're going to make this Knas, so it sounds like it's usher to sell the Behema for future Ubrim, because that's exactly what you did over here, and we make it be Poda the Behema. So it says Gemara, lo, a Uber. No, the Knas is on the Uber. That meaning we're assuming not that there's some future Uber that you sold to the guy. There is an Uber, there's a fetus in the guy's stomach right now, and not in the guy's stomach. I don't know about the guy, but there's a fetus in the animal's stomach right now, and it's that fetus that we are making you redeem and buy back even 10 times for 10 times its value. But an uber that's asidal, this aber that one day will be the animal will become pregnant with, that we don't care about. That maybe is not an iser. Dekanami dekatani konsonar asar b'damav shmamina. The raya that it's going on the uber, not the behema, is the masculine term. It says that we make a knas until 10 times its damav, masculine term, must be uber, which is masculine, rather than behema, which is feminine. Fine. This idea that we make a knas is a good raya to Reish Lakish's idea. Dam Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said in a different halacha, Hamocher behema gasel ovid kochavim kolzno sarada sar b'dameha, that if a person sells a behema gasel to an ovid kochavim, also usher to do, so we make a knas that he's got to try to redeem it back, he's got to try to buy it back up until 10 times its value. Fine, now the Gemara wants to know, dafka or lav dafka? When we say that 10 times its value, is that literal, that we mean 10 times, no more, no less? But meaning you have to go up until 10 times. You can't say, well, it's 8 times value, it's way too much. But if it's 12 times the value, then you're not responsible. Or do we assume lav dafka? We're just saying 10 times its value, but it doesn't literally mean 10 times its value. Meaning maybe you don't really have to spend that much. You only have to spend, you know, a little more than it's worth. We just use it as an expression as 10 times its value. So Tashma says, well, we'll bring a raya. Dam Reb Shua ben Levi, Reb Shua ben Levi said, Mocher avdol la'ovid kochavim. Let's say you do another avera. Instead of selling an ubar or selling a behema to an ovid kochavim, you sell an eved to an ovid kochavim. So konsen oso ad mea bedamav. We make a knas up until 100 times its value. So what do you see from there? The fact that we say by an eved 100 times and by a behema gasa 10 times, it must be that it's dafka. Because if it were lav dafka, we would pick the same expression to say both,
right? Why would we pick in one time, say 10 times, the other time 100 times? You'd use the same expression. The fact that we say different numbers must be a raya that it's dafka. Says Gemara, not a raya. Shiny eved to call yom of yom, mafkalei mimitzvos. Maybe the knas is actually much bigger for an eved because you did a much worse avera by an eved. By the eved, each and every day that he spends the rest of his life by the guy, he's unable to do mitzvos. You have to realize that as soon as you bought the eved, he became chayv mitzvos ki'isha. Now you sell him to an ovid chavim, he's not going to be able to do any mitzvos. So that's a major problem that you're being mafkia for mitzvos every day. So maybe for that we make you spend a significant amount more. Says the Gemara v'ikadamri, another lashon of how to have this conversation about dafka or lav dafka is that the starting point is Amrei Shlakish Hamocher Beimagasa, the same case, Lovid Chavim, except the halacha right away. The way Reish Lakish formulated it in this version is Konsonosoan Meya Bidameha. The way we had it originally was that Reish Lakish says when you sell Beimagasa, it's Adasara Bidameha. Now the second version has that Reish Lakish says Ad Meya Bidameha. Tanan Vanosna Bekabala Afpishen Rashai. But wait a second, we said that if you give a guy an animal b'kabbalah, that he's going to have a share in the fetuses, then the knas is that you have to pay up until asara b'dameha. So mechira paskamine, kablanus lo paskamine. So says Gemara, the difference is that by mechira, you've severed any connection to it whatsoever. By kablanus, you haven't severed any connection with it, you're still somewhat connected to it. So therefore, the knas is going to be a little bit less. So, frankly, Gemara, dafka or lav dafka? Are we being precise in this formulation that it's dafka 10 and 100? These are the actual numbers, or is it lav dafka? So, the Gemara is again same shaila we asked in the first lashon. So, says Gemara Tashma. Over here we have it the reverse. In the second version we have it that when it's behemagasa, it's 100 times. When it's an eved, it's 10 times. First way we had it was exactly the reverse. So says the Gemara, if that should be a raya, meaning the lishon basa, the way Rashi understands it, is that since we're goris by the eved adasara bedamav, the mea of a behema must be lavdaf. Because it doesn't make any sense that a behema would be 10 times the knas of an eved. Why should a behema be more of a knas than an eved? We said a svara before, why if anything the eved should be more of a knas than a behema, because by the eved you're being mefkiyed for mitzvahs. So that's what the Gemara is trying to prove. The Gemara is trying to prove over here in the second lashon that it's lav dafka. In the first lashon we tried to prove if there's a discrepancy in the number, it must be dafka, because why not just choose the same number? In the second lashon we're trying to prove it must be lav dafka, because the numbers are so skewed. Why would the Eved be so much less of a Knas than the Behema? And the Gemara says, no, well, I'll tell you why the Eved will be less of a Knas. Shiny Eved, lo hadalei. Because once you redeem the Eved and you buy the Eved back, you don't get him back. He has to go free. Yatza l'cheirus is the halacha. So we're not going to make you pay for something you're not even going to get. Behema my time, mishum t'kahadrelei. So what? So by the Behema, we make you pay up until 100 times because you're going to get it back? I have an idea. Niknasei tfeichad. You should pay 11 times its value. Not 100. I mean, if when you don't get it back, you're going to pay 10 times its value. When you do get it back, how much more value are you getting for it? One time its value, because you're getting it. You're getting the animal back. So why do we say that it's 100? It should be one more time. Ella, rather, we have to say a different answer. Eved milsal oshchicha hi, kal milsal oshchicha lo gazer b'rabbanan. And the Eved is a milsal oshchicha, so the Rabbanan didn't make a gzera. Very unusual application of that concept. Normally, milsal oshchicha lo gazer b'rabbanan means they don't make a gzera at all. Over here, we're saying that since an Eved is milsal oshchicha, that you sell an Eved to a guy, so they weren't gozer, that you would have to pay 100 times its value. They were only gozer, that you would have to pay 10 times its value. Unless you say it's a milsal oshchicha that the person is going to insist on more than 10 times its value. Maybe that's the lo shchicha. So up until 10 times its value, maybe that's shchiach. But on more than that is not shchiach. So this concept, milsal shchicha l'gazvei rabbanan, we've discussed in the past. Rav Shechter in his notes on Beitza, I don't think they've published those yet, but in his notes on Beitza, raises the issue, is milsal shchicha l'gazvei rabbanan, that the rabbanan were not permitted to make a gzeira on a milsul shchicha, that it's a limitation of the authority of the rabbanon, that when it's a milsul shchicha, they're not allowed to make a gzeira, or milsul shchicha lo gazer rabbanon, is that they chose generally not to make gzeiros on a milsul shchicha. In the tzlach in Maseches Beitza, the tzlach writes that the whole idea of milsul shchicha is only by gzeira chadasha, by new chazera, the chazal are not gozer on milsul shchicha. But if they make a gzeira on a milsul shchicha and it has applications in cases that are losh, the gezeira is still binding even in cases that are lo shchicha. And that's why some of the achronim are bothered by the Ramah in Evin Ezer, Simen Yud Gimel, Sifir Aleph, in the name of Mari Mintz, that maybe he says it's mutter to marry a meinekes when the meinekes, a nursing woman, when the reason she had a baby was not because she was married, but that she was mezana and she was mufkeres luznus. Because that's a milsa de lo shchicha, that people are mezana and have children out of wedlock. So since it's a milsul shchicha, maybe the chamor never goes there not to marry a meinekes. But that's very strange. What do you mean? The gzeira against marrying a meinekes, that's a milsul shchicha. That means a woman has a baby and Rachman al Tzlan, her husband dies, she gets divorced right after. That's a milsul shchicha. Things like that happen all the time. And the Rabbanan didn't make a gzeira on that. You may have a meinekes every once in a while where it was very unusual circumstances, but that doesn't change, that doesn't turn the whole gzeira into a wrong gzeira, a gzeira that's not viable. No, the gzeira is still a viable gzeira, even though it has applications. A milsul shchicha. Very, very difficult Ramah. That's the kasha the Tshuvas Beis Shlomo asks on the Ramah. Okay, let's see weiter in the Gemara now. The Chamorim calls man shehad Ovid Chavim. So the Chamor Shita is anytime an Ovid Chavim owns any part of the animal, mail its pot from Bechorah. So Amr Rabbi Shua v'shei Mikrecha Darshu. Both the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda darshan really from the same Pasuk. Pasuk says, Kol Bechor. So Rabbanan Savri Bechor, Mitzas Bechor Mashma. The Rabbanan hold, Yerchayv and Bechor, the word Bechor alone sounds like even if you only own part of the Bechor. So Kaz Rachman, Kol Adika Kule. And that's what the word Kol comes to tell me, that no, owning part of the Bechor is not enough. Unless you own the entire Bechor, you're not going to be Chayv and Bechor. Rabbi Yehuda Savri, Rabbi Yehuda would understand, Bechor Kule Bechor Mashma, that the word Bechor implies that you need to own the entire Bechor in order to be Chayiv in Bechora. So Kas Rachman Kol Dafilu Kol Dehu. And the word Kol comes to tell you, no, you don't need to own the entire thing, you only need to own Kol Dehu. So it's ironic that the Rabbanan who insist that you own the whole thing to be Chayiv, understand that the word Bechor means only partial. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you only need to own part of it, understands the word Bechor means you need to own everything. And then Kol is coming to pull you in the other direction. Or maybe everyone agrees that Bechor means Rov. The word Bechor alone would mean that you own the majority of it. Question is what the word Kol is doing. Kol is definitely adjusting that number. So is it adjusting that number to say, no, it's not enough to own Rov, you need to own the entire thing? Or is it adjusting the number by saying, it's not necessary to own Rov, you only need to own a part of it in order for it to be Chayv Bechor? How much of a shutvus does a guy have to have in order for it to be put from Bechora? Meaning, according to the Rabbanan, that if there's Yad Ovid Chavim Be'emtza, how much of a Yad Ovid Chavim Be'emtza? Let's say he owns a single hair on the animal's head. Is that enough? And you own the rest of the animal. Is that enough for the animal to be put from Bechora? So says Gemara, different shitos. Am Rafuna Afilu Ozno. Even if the guy only owns the ear of the animal. Mas Rav Nachman, V'leim Le'shkil Ozno Chavazil. But why can't the Jew tell him, take your ear and go, I'll still have a full animal here, the animal is still a viable, perfectly healthy animal even without an ear, and therefore it should still be subject to Bechorah even absent the ear. So why is owning an ear enough? So the Achronim raised the question, is that literal that you say Shkil Asuch HaVazil? Meaning, if the guy owns an ear of an animal and you own the rest of the animal, are you literally allowed to say, here, cut off the ear and just give it to him? So the Achronim point out, the Reishis Pikurim says, wait a second. If the guy owns the ear, Mestama, he owns the right for the ear to be attached to the body and grow with the body and be nourished by the body, and then he'll eat the ear, presumably, or whatever he'll do with it, whenever the animal gets slaughtered, whenever the animal dies. So can a Jew really say, take the ear and go? So he has a couple of terutzim. One terutz is the Gemara is using an expression. It doesn't mean that you can literally say, take the ear and go. But his other terutz is that since the Nachri doesn't have a kinyan aguf in the animal, only in the ear, and the zuchus of the gidul of the ozen, of the ear growing, is a shibud, that's not a kinyan aguf, that's a shibud he has. So the halacha is that hektish is motzi midei shibud. That when something is kadosh, all shibudim fall off. So since this hektish has to be chal, and the only thing that's being ma'akiv from being chal is the goy's chelek in the ozen, so if the hektish is going to be chal, then it's not the ozen is not going to be ma'akiv anymore. So we could say that the kedushas bechor is mafkia the zchus of the ozen. Okay, says Gemara Itmar, Rav Chista Amar Davar Shososo Nevela. Rav Chista says, no, the goy needs to own a part of the animal, that if you were to remove that part of the animal will be a nevela. Rav Amar Davar Shososo Trefa. And Rav says, no, not that if you would remove it, the animal would be a nevela, but a part of the animal that's significant enough that if you remove it, the animal would be ill, it would be a trefa. What's the machlokas about? The one that says that the guy needs to own a big enough part that would make it a trefa, holds trefa in a chaya. That's why it's called significant, because a trefa can't live. So if the guy owned the part that would make it a trefa, the guy owns something that the chiyas of the animal is totally in. The one that says, no, you need to own something that will make it a nevela, would hold trefa is not enough, because trefa is chaya, trefa could still live. The guy needs to own something that would take away the chiyas of the animal. It would have to be something that would make it a nevela. Amruba, Rabban Kamed Rav Papa, Hadarav Hunav Rav Chista Varava, Lo pligi. The Rabbanan said these three deos that we had about what the guy needs to own, whether he just needs to own an ozen, even just an ear, or he needs to own something that will make it a treif or a nevela, they're not really arguing. Both Rashi and Tosfos point out when we say they're not really arguing, what we mean is Rav Chista and Rava are not arguing on Rav Huna, but Rav Chista and Rava definitely argue with each other. The treif and nevela issue is definitely machlokas. Rav Chista and Rava, do not disagree with Rav Huna. The machlokas between Ozen versus Trefa Nevela on the other side, that's what we're saying, that they're not arguing. Habo, Habi'imo, the one that says that you need to own the ear, so that's if you're talking about the Bechor itself, that's all the guy needs to own in order to take away the Kedusha's Bechor. But when we say that you need to own a significant part, whether it be that which makes it a Trefa or that which makes it a Nevela, but a significant part, that's talking about when you own the when the guy owns the mother, so that's why it's not a Machlokas. Amalur of Papa, Maishno Bo, Debin, Kol Bechor Veleka, why should there be a difference between the level of ownership the guy needs in the Bechor and that which he needs in the mother? So he says, no, I don't buy that. It doesn't make a difference. It would be the same halacha, the same amount of ownership to pater that you would have to have in the Bechor, you'd have to have in the mother and vice versa. Why is it by a nefel, even though it's not something that has that could live right now, it's still nevertheless going to be kadosh. So over here also we say, even if the guy has something that would make it a nevela, the part that's owned by a Jew should still be kadosh. It shouldn't be mafkia the kedusha. So says Mar Hasam, kiven de lo arivu buhulin, karina bu bevehema kol bechor. By the fetus, there's no chulin mixed in with the fetus, and therefore it could have kedusha, even though the fetus at this stage in the pregnancy is unable to survive on its own. But hacha, kiven de arivu buhulin, lo karina be kol bechor. But over here you have a single animal that has a competing force inside of it. You have kedusha and chulin trying to vie for the status of this animal. So then we require kol bechor. Rabbi Lozer lo ala be midrasha. One day Rabbi Lozer didn't show up to the base of Medrash. Ashkel Rabbi Yassi, and he found Rabbi Yassi. Amrlei mayom Rabban be midrasha. First thing he needed to know: what do they say in yeshiva today? So Amrlei hachi am Rabbi Yochanan filu mum kal. Rabbi Yochanan says even a mum kal is enough of an ownership that the guy to have to take away the kedushas bechor. Vadatan racha sheyaldem min eiz veeiz sheyaldem in rachel p'turim in a bechora. That which we say if animals have offspring that look like other animals, that it's part from bechora. V'im yesh ba mikzas simanim chayiv. But if there's mikzas simanim you're going to be chayiv. So mum meaning some of it looks a little bit like its mother. Mum kavua avi lishkot olav. That would be defined as a mum kavua that you would shecht it for. So bishlam mum kal kamash melon kedrav huna olav ukimidrav chisav rava. So I understand the chiddush that he says that a mum kal is enough of a goyish ownership to take away the kedusha. That's a chiddush because you're telling me that that Rav Huna is correct and Rav Chisav and Rav are incorrect about the nevela treifa ownership. El mum kavua my kamash. What's the chiddush about a mum kavua? That if an animal has a mum kavua, so then it's you can shecht it. That's the din by Bukhara. We said yesterday in the introduction. Yeah, if it has a mum kavua, you can then shecht it. What's the chiddush? So the kivin d'shtani havale muma. No, the chiddush is that it doesn't. It's not blemished in the sense that it's ill or it's sick or something happened or you know it's blemished. It just looks different than its mother. That's the mum. That's the whole mum. That's considered a mum is the chiddush. So it says Mar Tanina. But we knew that already also because it says upiv doma kishal chazira rezemum, that if your cow's animal looks the animal's mouth looks like a snout of a pig, that's also a mum. So obviously just the fact that it looks different is a mum also. And if you're going to say no, the mouth of a sheep looking like a snout of a pig, that's a mum because it looks like an animal. That part of the animal looks like an animal. It's not kadosh b'bechora. But the chiddush that we're saying now is even if it looks like another animal that would have kedushas b'chor, it's still a mum because it's not what it's supposed to look like. Hanami tanina, but we know that already as well, that even if it looks like another animal that does have kedushas b'chor, that it's considered a mum. How do I know it? Eino achas gadol v'achas ketana, v'tana gadol v'gadol k'shalegel, v'ketana k'tana k'shalavas. Let's say you have one eye that's enlarged, one eye that's small. Rashi understands it either or. Either one eye that's enlarged or one eye that's small. What do we mean enlarged? Enlarged to the size of an egel. What do we, the eye of an egel? What do we mean small? Small like the size of an avaz, of a goose. So bishlam k'tana k'shalavas. I understand if its eye looks like the eye of a goose, so that's not kadosh b'bechora. I understand why that's called a mum, because a goose wouldn't be kadosh b'bechora. El gadolik shalegel, but if the sheep's eye is as big as the eye of a cow, yesh b'mino kadosh b'bechora. But that's yesh b'mino kadosh b'bechora. So why is that a mum? Elav mishum damrim kivin d'shtani havle muma. So you see from there already that whenever there's any shinoi, even though it's a shinoi in that it looks like another animal that also has kedushas b'chor, that's still considered a mum. So we're vaiter back to the question, what's the chiddush of the of what we said on the top of the amud? So it says Gemara, lo, mishum davale sarua. No, with the eyes of different sizes, it's not a mum. It's an issue of sarua. Sarua means disproportionate. If an animal has one leg longer than the other leg, that's considered a mum. That's a separate issue. Not because it looks like a different animal. Hachinam mistavar ditnan, and it's mistavar to say that it's because of sarua ditnan, because we have a Mishnah, mumin elu ben kavun ben ovrim sulin. If you have a mum, whether it's kavua, whether it's mum over, it's pasul. Yes, or an adam, meaning by an that any mum that pasul's baby is going to pasul adam as well. And yes, or an adam, but an additional mum, but that would pasul an adam from avoda. Let's say if a person who's a kohen is ein of shtein gedolah shtein katanos gabi adam udichsiv ish ish mizara aron to be an ish shava bizara shel aron. If a person's eyes are both enlarged or both of his eyes are tiny, so then he's going to be pasul from the avoda because it's supposed to be shava bizara. He should have eyes like every other Kohen has. But if you have a behema that has two enlarged eyes, both eyes enlarged, or both eyes too small, so it's not considered a mum. So why, when one is enlarged and one is small, is it a mum? If it's just because it looks different, then even if both eyes of the sheep look like cow eyes, it should be considered a mum. If that's the whole issue, that it looks like a different animal. So no, it's the fact that it's only if one eye is enlarged is because it's not an issue of looking like another animal, it's an issue of disproportionate. So it's most mustavered, that's what it's talking about, that the eye case is talking about disproportionate. What we're talking about, the chiddush that we have, is that even when it looks like another animal, it's going to be considered a mum. Says Gemara, lo, the other no, really, I'll tell you, with the eyes, it's an issue of shinoi. It's an issue that it looks like another animal. Have mumo, the kakashalach, afilu shtein, gadol shtein, katanos. And that which we ask, oh yeah, well, if it's all about looking different, looking like another animal, then even if both eyes were enlarged or both eyes were small, it should also be a mum. Hasam imachmas bar yusa yaseira travayu by lemivra. Imachmas khishusa yaseira travayu by mikhash. No, but there's a different issue because it's only a mum because we assume something's wrong with the animal. The animal is unhealthy. But if it were very healthy, then, meaning if the animal's eyes are enlarged because it's very vigorous, then both eyes should be enlarged. If the animal was very, the animal's eyes were small because it's a little bit of a weaker animal, both eyes would be small. The fact that it's that one eye is different than the other eye shows you that the enlargement or the fact that one is small is a mum rather than just being a sign of extra vigor that the animal might have or a little extra weakness that the animal might have. We have 1 minute. Let's try to read the story. There was a female giyores whose brother would give her animals to fatten up. So she came to Rava. She wanted to know if the bechoros are chayiv and bechor. If the firstborns are chayiv and bechor. So he said, don't worry. You don't have to worry about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that when there's a shutfus with an ovid chavim, it's chayiv and bechora. We pass like the rabbanan that there's yad ovid chavim be'emtza. It's pata from Bukhara. Okay, we'll stop there.